talking about death cafes, and we also want to talk about life and what better to do in your life than dance. Well, Figures in Flight is a professional modern dance company of 14 to 18-year-olds in the Hudson Valley who've been dancing together for over 12 years. Next month, Figures in Flight Dance Company is going to be performing its last concert ever. After decades of service to the community, director Susan Slotnick is retiring. Her choreography has helped thousands of children in the region learn the importance of attention and movement. The final performance will take place on Saturday, June 6th at 7 o'clock. Last year, Figures in Flight worked together with their brother company, Figures in Flight Released, men who had been trained in dance by Slotnick while in Woodbourne Correctional Facility. Susan Slotnick joins us now with Charles DeFreya, a parent of one of the dancers and a public outreach coordinator for the organization. Thank you very much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
You're welcome.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Very nice to have you here. So let's ask the obvious question. Why are you retiring?
Well, I've had four companies, 1, 2, 3, and 4. And by the time I get to see the kind of choreography I want, I have 10 years in the making. They start at 5. They leave for college at about 18. So I'm 70. So if I started again, I'd be 83 by the time I could see the kind of choreography I want. Time's moving forward. Not that I want to talk about death,
right,
but we do have to face reality, and there's just so much you can do after 70 as a choreographer.
Okay, first of all, and I hate when people do this, but I have to do this. Really, swear to God, you're 70?
Boy, I love that. Oh, my gosh. She's standing up now, putting my hands behind my head, posing.
No, seriously, that does not seem right.
And I haven't dyed my hair, and I haven't had plastic surgery. But it's not about me, although I'm delighted you think I look good.
Okay, well, all right. I understand why you would want to do that. That makes perfect sense. But if you did decide to do it, I still think you'd look, you know, at the end, you'd be great.
Well, now you're making me want to get up and do a pirouette right in this small space.
It says a lot about dancing, though, doesn't it? It's just that's
and genetics.
Right. Okay, I'll give you the genetic part. Sure. Now, I find this, as I was reading up on this and looking into this, it sort of reminded me of the film Boyhood, where you have, like, you start with these kids and then you film the movie over 12 years. And that's pretty much what you do, right? I mean, you take these kids and then you work with them until the time they graduate.
I started with this group when they were 5. I teach philosophy also with dance. It's a philosophy loosely based on the ideas of George Gurdjieff about attention and self-observation. But I also am a hippie still, so I'm a little outrageous in the teaching. And these kids say to me, following a program about death, "Do you remember when we were 5 years old? At the end of every dance, you'd say, 'And now you die.'" So I used to do this outrageous choreography with them when they were very little. And I do serious choreography, really serious choreography with young people, which is not happening in a lot of dance schools now, because dance schools now are mostly competition schools or just straight ballet.
What characterizes serious choreography? What makes it serious?
All choreography is autobiographical.
All right.
Even if all it is your taste in music. So I've had a very rich, full life. I've been around the world backpacking in the 60s. I've had all kinds of positive and negative experiences. I've dealt a lot with prisoners and their stories. I hear a piece of music, I see the dance in my head, and then when the dance is on stage, I'll look at it, I'll say, "Oh, that's about that memory. That's about that moment in my history." I'll actually see it afterwards because it's ephemeral and subliminal and sort of unconscious choreography. But somehow, a lot of serious pieces in the last few years have happened because the world has gotten very serious.
Mm.
These kids, actually none of them have decided they want to be professional dancers. They want to be professional humans. They tell me what we got from Figures in Flight, besides great training and really good choreography, was a desire to change the world. They're mostly into social justice.
So, and I'll ask Charles about this in a moment because I want to hear his thoughts on this and his motivations. But when it comes to the beginning of a session and you have children who are entering at a very young age, what do those kids and those parents have in common to invite them, to bring them to you, to have them want to experience that? over an extended period of time?
I think that I love them. And I think regardless of difficulties that'll come over 12 years between kids and me, between parents and me, between parents and parents, between kids and kids, there's a tremendous amount of love in the school. And a creating of community is very important to me. There's a lot of rules regarding how they behave when they're not dancing. They're not allowed to be on their cell phones. They have to be kind to each other. They have rules around feedback. They must practice being present and being self-observant. Sometimes the atmosphere becomes a little strange because I'll say to them, during this rehearsal, only say what's necessary. And all of a sudden, these teenagers that are always yakking back and forth, they find out 99% of what they wanted to say was unnecessary. And it creates a serious work environment. Mm. One of my students, Katie Crystal, was just interviewed for Chronogram.
Yes.
And she,
Hudson Valley
what
magazine.
She had to say was all about the atmosphere outside of the actual training and how it's related to her development in school.
So what you're describing is what happens when children get there and are in the program. I'm interested, and again, I'll go to Charles with this in a second, but what do you believe gets them, you know, brings them through the door of what parents want to achieve by bringing them to you in the first place?
Well, it's a difficult question. I think that it's me. It's my personality. It's the way that I choreograph. It's the fact that we have almost no dance injuries because I'm very concerned about the health of their bodies. I think it's the musical choices. A lot of the parents really have said over the years, I just love all the music you choose. It's a difficult question for me to answer because I am the school. There's no other teacher but me. There's no other choreography but me. So I have to assume it's got something to do with me.
All right. Well, I want to get back to that in a moment, but let me go to Charles for a second. So when it came to you as a parent of one of the dancers, what did you want to achieve for your child? What did you want them to achieve through the school?
Well, you know, I wanted them to, I was interested in my kids dancing, but I also had an older daughter who was in Figures in Flight 3. Mm. So I've been involved with the company for more than 12 years, for a long time. And I didn't want them to just dance for the sake of dancing without a purpose, without getting something out of it other than just, you know, glitz and glare and pop music and all that. And I saw years ago, I went to a performance and I saw how the choreography with the music, you know, it just touched me in a way that it was more than just dance. There was something else to it. I couldn't put my finger on what it was, but as the years went on, I know exactly what it was. And I can tell you now that it's because it has meaning, and it also helped my kid, and I think all the other children, grow as young adults much earlier than they would have without being in the dance company.
So if Hollywood was writing this story, Susan, it would be that one of the dancers from Figures in Flight 1 grew up, blossomed, was a beautiful dancer, and wanted to take over.
I have a lot of people taking over right now, but they're taking over in the ways that I train them. I have my main assistant, Bethany Noel, who started at 15 to go into a boys' prison with me and has gone in every Sunday for 15 years. She now teaches dance at a high school, but she teaches attention and life skills. I have one of the main men in the prison dance company getting out. I don't want to say his name because he was in prison, and
sure,
I no longer want to, you know, use that to,
right,
to. But he's now teaching all children in a residential program for high school kids from and young adults 14 to 24 who are heroin addicted. And he's using dance and attention and my choreography. I have Molly, this girl who's assisting me now. She's now teaching dance in a school. She's teaching attention. She's teaching life skills. We have this big piece of it that's about social justice. And this group, Figures in Flight 4, has grown amazingly from working with these former prisoners. By the way, if any of the guys in the Woodburn Dance Program happen to be listening to this, shout out to you. They have a show coming up. I love you. I saw you yesterday. Do some stretching today, some pliés. Don't just go into the yard and smoke. You know, find a way to keep training when I'm not there. Okay, that was my little ad.
Okay. this has been the subject of a documentary.
Yes.
The Game Changer.
Yes, that's me, The Game Changer.
And the film is at Cannes right now.
Cannes is its 17th acceptance to a film festival. Her assignment was to do a profile of a person making a difference.
Indrani Kopal.
She's there now in Cannes.
Well, Figures in Flight final performance will take place on Saturday, June 6th at 7 o'clock at the Quimby Theater at SUNY Ulster in Stone Ridge, New York. We have links for more information posted on our website, wamc.org. Susan Slotnick and Charles DeFray, I thank you very much for being here, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Great pleasure.
We had a good time coming up here, too.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.